Test. 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 Testing. Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk. The urban industrialized society that you live within is systematically destroying the environment. The Mechanopolis is destroying the planet. You have been psychologically programmed to believe that this is not happening. Pockets of resistance have been weeded out and crushed.
Hello and welcome to this rebroadcast of Autonomous Action Radio's radio show, which airs on Brisbane's independent radio station 4ZZZ. On this show, we'll be looking at deception in branding, the big multinational corporations behind smaller looking brands. We'll also be talking to Arabunna First Nations Australian man and co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance, Peter Watts. Plus, we'll be hearing independent, politically charged music from Australia and beyond. First up, let's take a listen to Zach De La Rota and this title track from his new album, Rewild or Die, which is available from zachdelaruta.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, no lie, no lie. Rewild or die, yeah, that's how it's gotta be. If we gon' stay alive, don't cry, don't cry. We don't need to fight, we got a couple minor problems, but we could rise up. Mic check one time, everything irie, right? Turtle Island is a prize, right? And I love life, so I keep smiling wide. Gaia is the messiah, and we'll die if we can't rewild. That's how it's gotta be. Let's get us everything we wanted like a shopping spree. We'll never operate the robbery of monocropping. Yeah, we'll be gardeners in the forest, practice permaculture. We've forgotten what we lost like a lobotomy. I'm trying to talk to the bottom of your memory. Let's deoccupy the colonies. We put ecology over the economy. Listen to me. When I kick it, I promise you I don't speak lies. Yeah, I give nothing but open honesty each time. We got a lot of walls to knock down, but probably we'll be fine if we rewild our lives. Look, Babylon is inescapably violent. That's the main cause of the slavery we're trying to fix. So y'all go on with y'all debate. Straight up, if we wanna save the world, we need change worldwide quick. That's why I'm training hard, because my body and my brain gotta both be big for this renaissance. That's why I practice building fires. I'm learning how to track a pack of rabbits down and cook them up to eat. Yeah, now y'all calling me awake, cause I'm not asleep. All I do is keep my eye on the price. And now y'all calling me a snake, cause I'm not a sheep. All I'm saying is rewild or die, rewild or die. Yeah, that's how it's gotta be. Let's get us everything we wanted like a shopping spree. We'll never operate the robbery of monocropping. We'll be gardeners in the forest, practice permaculture. We've forgotten what we lost like a lobotomy. I'm trying to talk to the bottom of your memory. Let's deoccupy the colonies. We put ecology over the economy. Listen to me, we get our food from the grocery. So go and get a garden and a gun and consume more locally. Ride a bike instead of driving a car. Run for your life, play in the yard. Yeah, we're off shopping at the mall, but often what we bought is the sort of stuff we could have made ourselves. We're all working for a boss when all that we want is community. Look at what we built, bunch of pyramids.
And now I want to talk about branding deception, and this is something that I wrote. It pays these days to look further into products to know exactly what you're buying.
Often, even the small print on the product won't tell you itself. Corporations are spending big bucks to make it look as if they didn't and have a penchant for consumer credibility and ethical products. Even easier still is to buy a small company which has an authentic branding and use your multinational status to increase the influence of this brand while keeping most consumers unaware of the big company behind the scenes. And so is the situation with Ben & Jerry's, the ice cream company, who seem ubiquitous these days. Ben & Jerry's looks like a small, niche, even boutique brand. They're a bit different, not one of the big brands known for ice cream like Paul's and Streets. And Ben & Jerry's did start out as a small enterprise by two guys called Ben and Jerry who bonded in the school gym in 1966 over a hatred for running and a love for food, and years later started their company after doing a $5 correspondence course on ice cream making. However, for more than 12 years now, the company has been owned by Unilever, who are the world's third largest consumer goods company. While many of the company's so-called ethical or green initiatives remain, there's no getting past the fact that they're owned by Unilever. There is much written about Ben & Jerry's takeover for those interested. The Ben & Jerry's journey from being a social enterprise to being owned by one of the largest multinational corporations in the world has sparked quite a debate. One thing it does reinforce is the notion that we can't green capitalism because in the end, the bottom line of how much money is to be made rules the day. And that's kind of what happened with Ben & Jerry's. The Ben & Jerry say that they had to sell the company because of their commitment to shareholders to make the most money for the shareholders. And there's actually an article on the internet, which I linked to on the website, which talks about whether or not they actually were obliged to maximise the profit for shareholders. Although whether or not they were, there were apparently some shareholders who were going to sue or something if they didn't sell the company. So I'm going to talk more now about what Unilever is. The fact that they're the third largest consumer goods company in the world rings alarms bells and means they got to where they are by stomping on a lot of toes. Specifically, Unilever is known for testing its products on animals, even tea apparently, operating with repressive governments, not treating workers or farmers fairly, using palm oil, which threatens orangutans and indigenous people in Indonesia, and polluting the planet with the chemicals they produce. And there's a lot more can be found on the Ethical Shopping Guide about what Unilever get up to. And I've got a song by Chumbawamba about Unilever. It's called Unilever. We're going to hear that now.
When you don't want to feed the world, when you just want to feed your bank balance, wash your guilt away. Unilever washes whiter, soap to clean those dirty hands, and a slap for the people who work the land. Unilever, manning hunger, soap in our eyes, John West is the best. We'll be right back.
We were told that the global financial crisis of 2008 happened because irresponsible borrowers couldn't afford to pay back their loans. This is true, but it was also part of a much deeper problem. The issue is that our economic system is based on the need for continuous perpetual growth. It's highly likely that we're already in the beginnings of something much worse than a depression, even if bankers and governments won't admit it yet. Fortunately, we don't need to hear it from them. We can tell that something is going on. We have the internet and we can share information amongst ourselves. And thankfully, if we try hard enough, we could just end up with something much, much better than what we have now. I'm no expert, however, I am someone who's done several years of reading on these topics, and I really want everyone else to know what's going on and understand the risks and the opportunities. It's only fair. So let's look at how our banking system really works. It's commonly believed that banks lend out money that they already have from invested savings. That would have encouraged a fairly stable system of banking. Instead, we have what's called a fractional reserve banking system. This means that banks can loan out almost all the money that gets deposited with them. For example, when you put $100 in one bank, they lend $90 of it to someone else, who then puts that $90 in their bank. Now there's $190 where there used to be $100. That $90 lent out will also be deposited and $81 lent again. In this way, money ends up being multiplied between 10 and 100 times. Sounds crazy, right? Less than 1% of the money in the economy is actual notes and coins. The rest are just numbers on computers, created as debt. This system rapidly increases the amount of money in the economy, which fuels economic growth, allowing most of us the ability to pay back our debts with interest, but only so long as the economy keeps on growing. One reason it won't is that ever since the Industrial Revolution, economic growth has been largely dependent on cheap fossil fuel supplies, which are now dwindling. When we first started drilling for oil, it was easy to find. It just spurted up out of the ground. We've only been drilling intensively for about 150 years, and oil is no longer easy to find. Now we drill down crazy deep through earth and ocean using expensive and risky technology. It used to cost one barrel of oil to get about 100 barrels of oil out of the ground. These days, one barrel only gets us 10 barrels back and declining, and that means it's not cheap anymore.
Hey yo! Yani mateso. Aha. Unikumbuke.
Amkeni kumekucha. Vakunguru kabla ya nuru. Shika mururu, acha umauru. Hapa ni neti, piga magoti. Simama kabla hujazimia.
Unikumbuke. Remember me. Unikumbuke. Remember me. Unikumbuke. Remember me. Unikumbuke. Remember me.
Aha. Niko na huzuni, simanzi ndio kilele. Ndio nilizopiga sasa niko ukingo. Nimebaki nikiwaza, mawazo chungu zima. Maswali bila majibu nimetiwa gerezani. Maisha ni magumu kwa kutengwa na jamii. Nilidhani nimepata kumbe nimepatikana. Marafiki zangu wote wamepotea. Majirani pia nao siwaoni. Mola utetezi naomba umtete. Ingawa safari ndefu bali kwako na imani. Maisha kidunia nimeyaweka ukingoni. Na nimerudi kwako kama mwana mpotevu. Unikumbuke. Unikumbuke. Unikumbuke.
Remember me.
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 Ni huzuni.
Remember me.
Yani mateso.
Remember me. Remember me.
Aha.
Remember me.
Hatuna raha.
Remember me.
Hata furaha.
Remember me.
Oh God. Remember me.
Kama wewe ni mgeni kaba kwenye gengi. Hapa si hoteli. Hautapata mkate. Utameza mate. ndio upate elimu kwamba ulifu haulipi ama super dogo vipi.
Unikumbuke, remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Mimi ni VIP, sitarudi hapa mara ya pili. Nimerekebika na nimebadilika, maana nimetabika. Nimeona magumu ndani humu, na sitakunywa sumu. Aha, super dog, sina utani, cheza nami.
Unikumbuke, remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke,
remember me.
Unikumbuke.
This is Autonomous Action Radio, and on the line we've got Peter Watts, the co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. How are you going, Peter?
Yeah, not bad. G'day, everyone.
Now, you're down in Adelaide?
Yes, I am. This is where I reside, in Adelaide. I'm of Arabunna descent. I'm an Arabunna man, and our country is on the western side of Lake Eyre, and right as we speak now, Olympic Dam Roxby is using about 38 million litres of water a day at no cost, right in the driest part of the driest state on the driest continent on the planet, to wash dirt and to enable that mine to operate.
Now, how do they get that water?
They have a series of large bores, but there's two big main contenders where they draw the majority of their water. They then have a small desalination plant where they make the water drinkable, and the remainder of the water goes into the mining production. And so they're actually dragging it out of the big aquifer, the Lake Eyre aquifer. The big basin that encompasses a lot of Australia, and a lot of that water comes in from New Guinea, which is also part of that big basin there. It's all that Lake Eyre basin. So we've got two massive bores which suck out a massive amount of water.
Now, you're an Arabunna man, and I guess the Olympic Dam is how you got involved with the anti-nuclear movement?
It is, and through an uncle, grandfather of mine, Uncle Kevin Buzzacott, he's been fighting against that mine and its water consumption, because the mine actually lies in Kookaburra country. However, the water for the mine is drawn from Arabunna country. So, and to all the people out there, we've just got gained native title over our country. However, again, native title can't give us the land rights of Northern Territory. Therefore, we can't say no. We can't say no to the water consumption. These mining companies, the BHP, they use all that water for free. They get all that water for free. They don't have to pay us a cent. And they've divided our family groups. And so one lot of our family are doing deals with BHP and his alliances with basically BHP, and then you've got our mob trying to combat that in a way as well, and work out the best deal that we can for the Arabunna people. Yeah?
You're the co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. Can you tell me what the alliance is, what the aims of the alliance are?
Well, the alliance is a it's a group of like-minded people, and we've got representatives of from all states around Australia that have been affected by uranium mining or have been knocking on the door now for exploration licenses or are doing exploration right now in their country and are just about to commence uranium mining. So we've got represented Aboriginal people from all around Australia and also heaps of conservation groups, medicine against war, the mob of doctors, other green groups, other conservation groups all around Australia, Friends of the Earth, the Greens, unions. We had the Maritime Union attend our AGM, which was only last weekend, which we all came together in Alice Springs, rather central, and in Northern Territory right at the moment. And another big factor is the Muckaty Dump, where they want to start burying all this nuclear waste that's going to be returning and what we have down there in Sydney there right now. Personally, I say leave it there right now. It's safe where it is. Don't go moving around all around the country. That'll then bring more problems around. It's spilt. And even at the moment, our ports are secretly exporting this uranium right under people's noses, and they all know that it only take one little derailment of a train and then you've got huge problems right on a potentially on a township, and this could happen anywhere in Australia. We need to shut down the industry entirely. I feel that the uranium industry just lives off its lies that they tell everyone, and if I was to tell lies like that today, that'd put me in jail for that. But these companies can go around and say all the good stuff without telling the other side of the story. And our government is up to that too. They convinced all Australians that it's clean and green. However, they know that it kills people right from the mining. Even in the reactors, we know that can't be safe and we can't control these earthquakes, okay? We've got the reactors, and then ultimately this stuff ends up in weapons. And so there's no safe part of this industry. It's all dangerous right from the word go, right to when it's going to be in weapons and blowing up on other poor, innocent countries that don't need this stuff.
I guess talking about disasters, you went to Japan earlier this year.
Yeah, I went to Yokohama and Tokyo and visited the Fukushima region. Friends of ours went up there, and it was just mind-blowing, the stories that the people had over there relating to Fukushima, and they was devastated that the outcomes, and to learn that this stuff, a lot of Japanese people didn't even know that this is the same stuff that bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The same things that power them generators, the same thing that made them big bombs. Yeah, I actually attended a global conference for a nuclear-free powered world, which was quite amazing. It was huge. It was attended by 14,000 people, and so Japanese people are now becoming aware that they don't need this stuff. Oh, the smart people in the world, we can do without this dangerous stuff. And when I was over there, Japan had 54 reactors or something like that. When I was there, they only had about four or five operating, and the city wasn't plunged into darkness. And again, people just don't know how dangerous this stuff is. And I was there, and I apologised to the Japanese people. But uranium come from right near my country. Eh? All that uranium, we confirmed here back in Australia that Fukushima uranium come from Australia, come from Roxby Downs. So we need to sit back in Australia and take on some responsibility. We claim to be a responsible country. However, we're selling this stuff that will end up causing devastation, whether it be in bombs or in these dangerous reactors. Goodness me, have a look what it's done to Chernobyl. We've got Fukushima now. We've got 130,000 people displaced in Fukushima. In years to come, there's going to be thousands upon thousands of cancers to eventuate from this. You've got the dangers in Long Island, 3 miles where it is in America. They all know how dangerous this stuff is, and we need to keep this stuff in the ground, okay? How people knew that in some parts of Australia, there's indigenous groups that knew about this uranium that was close to the ground. They knew that that was a poison area, not to eat there, not to camp there. So it's about time the people of the world start listening to maybe the oldest people in the world that knew about this stuff, the dangers associated with it. Keep this stuff in the ground. That big dust storm that blew right across the East Coast, blanketed Sydney in red dust, that all come from Cooper Pedy and around Roxby. Now, that same dust could all be, the next time it happens, could all be uranium dust. If this big expansion goes ahead at Roxby, they want to start opening up the ground and have this massive pit, the biggest hole in the ground, they want to start digging there. It's dangerous. One big dust storm like that can then blanket all of Sydney, and everyone, you only got to get one speck of that dust and you will have poison.
That was the announcement that they're going to postpone the open cut mine.
Yeah, I understand that too. However, the South Australian government's quick to say, well, whenever you'd like to have your expansion go ahead, we'll quickly organise you to have that indenture in place and all the exemptions that go with it. So then the mining company, therefore, doesn't have to meet the environmental impacts and the cultural impacts and all these other things that they claim to always be looking out for. Now, right at the moment, they've currently bought up all the neighbouring pastoral leases in that region and have systematically turned off all their bores to accommodate all that water consumption. So believe it or not, they're actually aware of how much water they're using. They're probably aware that that water is running out. Some of that water is 10,000 years old. We've probably been using it up real quick. Now they want to build a desalination plant in one of South Australia's gulfs, and that will ruin that. They have another option. They could take it from Australian Bight, therefore to get a better flush. It'll cost them a little bit more money. And again, people just choose to abuse. They're abusing the welfare and the health of all the people that are working up there. And the people of South Australia surrounding them gulfs. They want to destroy that, and they're going to build a gas pipeline from Moomba to ultimately fire their big furnaces to generate power out there at Olympic Dam there too. So there's lots going on, and on the eve of our meeting up in Alice Springs, the Western Australian Environmental Minister announced that he is now opening up the doors of West Australia for uranium mining. They've had all this exploration going on there. We've had lots of people over there combating that to try and stop this these mines going ahead, but then you've got the environmental minister. Now, an environmental minister is supposed to be there for the environment. These people know that this stuff will poison the environment. They should go and drag him out the building and humiliate him in public and say, look, you're supposed to be there for the environment. You now want to commence mining. Western Australia is a big mining state. We've had mining. This isn't like any other mine. This is going to be consuming large amounts of water right out the middle of the desert. Again, for a substance we don't need.
You're listening to Autonomous Action Radio on 4ZZZ, and we're talking with Peter Watts, co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. We're going to go to a song now by the Super Aileen Brothers. It's called Nuclear Cop. Z 102.1 FM. It's 12:30. You're listening to the Autonomous Action Radio Show. And on the line from Adelaide, we have Peter Watts, who's a co-chair of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance and also an Arabunna man from down there in South Australia. You went to the AGM last weekend?
Yeah, we just had our AGM and in Alice Springs, and people from Western Australia and Northern Territory, handful from Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, and a body of us come up from South Australia. We all met in Alice Springs, people, conservation groups, Greens, unions, maritime unions from Darwin. We have a number of unions on board. I mean, This is another factor too, that having unions on board is one thing, but then you've got the whole mining operation at Moxby that is non-union. So that's another issue.
Now, you were talking just before the song about the announcement that Western Australia is going to allow uranium mining, and the debate is just starting in Queensland as well.
So what were the outcomes of the meeting up there in Alice Springs as far as any resistance?
Well, like I said, when everyone returned home, especially the Western Australian people, that they were met with that, and my late phone calls and emails and stuff relating to that. And so we've now got the Western Australian thing happening. We've got Northern Territory, we've got the Angela Pamela mine just out of Alice Springs that they would love to get going. Got the current mine which is operating up at Ranger out of Jabiluka up there, and in World Heritage National Park, for goodness sake. Then you've got the Muckety Dump just out of Turner Creek, north of Turner Creek. They even having mining exploration licences being handed out at the moment. The New South Wales people, government and all that are wanting to commence exploration of uranium in New South Wales. And I dare say that'll be happening up in Queensland there as well. So we've got a lot happening. However, our people are still chipping away at it. We'd like little hammer chipping away at a hard rock. Every now and again we come across a bit of a soft spot. We make a lot of headway, but a lot of that rock's quite hard, and you know, it's just about education really, and health for people. At the end of the day, it'll affect people's health, and not only the health of people but the health of the country too. So, and no country, no water, there's no life, and these mining companies will just pack up bag and go look for another place, you know. And they're running out of places, and they know that Australia is an old continent full of all these minerals which civilization today is currently chasing.
You'll probably be taking the issue sort of around to different places around the country. You might even visit Queensland sometime.
What's that, sorry?
You might even come to Queensland. It's my invitation.
Yeah. I'd love to come to Queensland and get the ball rolling there, because people need to know we've got Queensland unions on board, and they can stop this stuff in its tracks. I mean, people need to know. Get it out there. Get it on the internet or something. Tweet it. Facebook. People need educate, especially the young people coming up now. They know how dangerous this stuff is, you know. And yet all of these old people, they've got all the shares and BHP. Aren't they concerned for the young children working in these mines, which are dangerous? They might be earning big money, but they're endangering their lives. These mining companies will tell you that they know that this stuff is corrogenous. It gets in your genes, it can affect your genetic makeup, therefore your offspring. I know it's affected my family personally from when the Maralinga blast. Now, I'm concerned for my two daughters, okay? We lost a little brother. My auntie can't have babies. I know personally that this stuff damages people. It can kill too. Killed my nana 34 years of age, way too young. Her last daughter can't have babies. It's an ongoing saga. My sister had bone marrow disease when she was a baby, growing up in the 70s. So this is like 20 years later, 25, 30 years later, the stuff starts to come out. A lot of our people up here in northern South Australia, their relations and grandmothers were in them areas a long time ago. Now they all got thyroid cancers, all these the cancers coming out, leukemia. They know. However, we can't prove this. The government know that they can't prove it. This is why they took my little brother when he was born off mum and dad. Once he died at the age of a few days or a week old, the government took that dead baby off my mum and done all these radiation tests and dismembered my brother, and God knows where he ended up, all bits and pieces. because they knew where my mother was, they knew where my father was working. He was working at Woomera at the time as well. You only got to go to the Woomera Cemetery and have a look at all the stillborn babies up there.
I was going to mention that I was going to thank you very much for taking Franklin Lopez and I out on a trip to Lake Eyre and Roxby Downs.
We did call in that cemetery, didn't we?
Yeah, and we went to that cemetery, and there's a disproportionate number of babies born, stillborn, or who died very young.
For the people who don't know the big word disproportionate, try about 90%, eh? That's how many, a lot of them plaques on that, in that cemetery are all young babies, like day old, stillborn, 5 days, 6 days, 2 weeks, 3 days, month. There's hundreds. There literally is, yeah.
And you mentioned the Maralinga bombings, which is close to Woomera. Is that Maralinga?
It is. It's like southwest from there, and it encompasses a big area. And next week, I was supposed to be going on a clearance, however, into one of them prohibited areas which goes over the Arabunna country for a mining company that does want to do some exploration out there. So, again, we cannot say no. We just can open the door and let these mining companies go out there, drill willy-nilly. Fair enough, we can hopefully keep them accountable, but they're going to be using lots and lots of water from a very, very dry region. And, I just have grave concerns for our country and our people up that way.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today on Autonomous Action Radio, Peter. I wanted to also thank you again for taking Franklin and I out on the trip in South Australia earlier this year.
Yeah, no worries. That was my pleasure.
It was a great time, and good to go out there and see the mining and also the boreholes or drills.
Didn't we?
Yeah, it was 2,000 or 3,000 kilometres in 4 days. A big trip.
You see, the Labour Party comes to power in the next election. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? It doesn't really make any difference who's in power. The state remains the same. The structure's still there. They just tinker a little bit here and there. It doesn't really make any difference who's in power. The state remains the same. The structure's still there. They just tinker a little bit here and there.
Tune in to Autonomous Action Radio, 4ZZZ's Anarchy Show. Every Monday from 12 to 1 p.m. on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM or streaming at 4ZZZFM.org.au.
Limurka, Marti, Tipal, Kaima, Tilimurka, Tal, Tirim, Mingit, in a Rombo, Maraca, Nam. Listening to 4ZZZ, however, it is also the case that time does not exist, so forget it. By past, we mean that which is exactly not present and future. By present, that which is not past and future, and by future that which is not past or present. However, every moment has the incompatible characteristics past, present and future. So yesterday at the time was present, before that it was future, and now it's in the past. So because all moments of time have the incompatible characteristics, time does not exist.
Test. 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 Testing. Test. Call sign Trench Wolf. 0700. Beta frequency. This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk. The urban industrialized society that you live within is systematically destroying the environment. The Mechanopolis is destroying the planet. You have been psychologically programmed to believe that this is not happening. Pockets of resistance have been weeded out and crushed. The Anti-Hero Underground is the only existing group of resistors who have managed to survive. We subsist in the wilderness outside of the biosphere where our numbers are strong. Tactical skill has allowed us to gain ground in the war against machine culture, but that will not be enough. New recruits and patrons are needed in the struggle, or what little is left of the force will not survive. There is not much time. The war that shapes our lives is upon us at every moment. The machines and their culture are winning. Day by day, their smokestacks spew poison into the air. At night, the stars do not shine above their electric palaces. The thieves of history would have you believe that their world, your world, is the only one which exists. This is a mistruth. We are alive and fighting.
Bots, Renegade. You're in violation of Mode 16 from day 1. On to the mind's done outside of mechanized biosphere limits will be terminated under Bureau Mandate 591 of Mechanopolis.
Get sued, resources taken and never renewed, while political servants get lobbied and wooed. Uncivilized, bloody meat on the knife. We smash the machines cause they threaten our life. We kill when we have to, we bark and we bite, cause the nuclear sunset was terribly bright. Everyone's brainwashed, they can't see the light. Humanity killing itself every night. Nobody listened, but I heard it coming. War in the streets when the faucets stopped running. Money meant nothing, with no food to buy. Kill or go
hungry, you fight or you die. Survive on your own without import supply. Return to the land base that we had sucked dry. Got hip-hop in the speakers with armies of underground poets and teachers. Survivalists that thrive on this planet. Organic manuscripts to bang your shit and kill your style, cause you can't even manage it or handle it through multimedia machines. Refuse to let your lack of culture paralyze my dreams. I don't wanna raise my children under your regime. We storm the databases and we smash computer screens. We live inside the wilderness but mountain lakes and streams. We broadcast the message but you don't know what it means. Your way of life is governed by a culture of machines. Your way of life is governed by a culture of machines. Your way of life is governed by a culture of machines. Mass computer screens. Your way of life is governed by a culture of machines. Mass computer screens. Your way of life is governed by a culture of machines. Mass computer screens. Mass computer screens. Mass computer screens. Mass computer screens. Return to the land base that we had sucked dry.
You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Zed Digital. For more information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.
Lost all your hope, when there's no one to help, you find where to go. Don't have to look far, you know where I am. I'm waiting at the end of the road. Waiting at the end of the road. We're traveling, don't feel alone. No matter how far you are from your home, when you look up ahead, you'll know where I am. I'm waiting at the end of the road. Waiting at the end of the road. And the places I go and the songs that I sing, the rules that I break and the people I meet. I've got a name, one you can't repeat. But I'm waiting at the end of the road. Waiting at the end of the road. We'll try just about anything to make you turn back and be their machine. They'll shackle your feet and they'll shackle your dreams. They say you're as free as can be. Say you're as free as can be. The losses don't take one more step on the road to a place where ideas are not set. But I say run and leave it all behind. Run till there's no running left. Run till there's no running left.